We'll get back to a discussion of the campaign, and I'll give you a chance to think about it while we pause for a message. Senator, I'd like to ask you, reflectively now, what do you think of the tone of this campaign? And before you answer, let's stop for these messages. But as I say, reflectively, what do you think of the tone of this campaign among you and your two adversaries?
Well, I think the tone set in the primary was very low and very deplorable in terms of campaigning in our state for the high office of the United States Senate. And I think that Mr. D'Amato was very guilty of that and focusing attention upon irrelevant details. It's a performance standard that counts for the Senate, not my age and health. And that got deeply inculcated in the minds of the electorate and is just in the process of being dispelled. And I think that was very low level and very discreditable. In the general election, I think that was apparently eliminated, probably by design and strategy by Mr. D'Amato and his people. And I think, though we did have reason to, kind of get very strong with each other, on the whole, there was a pretty fair discussion of the issue. So I would divide this campaign very sharply into two parts. But I will say this, in my opinion...
Low road and high road?
Well, yes, I think so. I think it's the low road and the high road. But I think even the high road was not distinguished by equal contributions of what you would do if you got the job in terms of the delivery for the people of the state. And in terms of specifics.
What do you think, Mr. D'Amato? What's your reaction to what the senator said? And then we'll go to you, Ms. Holtzman.
I would have preferred that we be able to, in the course of our debates, in the course of the formats and the structures, had a little bit more in that, had it more issue-oriented in terms of the kinds of programs I would have been looking to develop and work for, both in the economy and both in the
social services. What about the tone of the campaign, as you saw?
I think it's markedly improved. I've made a very concerted effort to bring it away from what I think was a legitimate issue, effectiveness in terms of age and health, but certainly not the determining issue. And I would say that I think much of the media focused in just on that and helped whip this situation beyond what was appropriate. Beyond what was an appropriate level.
You don't think that your own commercials on television helped foster that?
I think that it was one issue. It certainly shouldn't have been the dominant one. And I think that the media can
see. You don't agree with the senator that it was low.
Let me say that I think maybe it was somewhat strident. If we had to do over again, I've indicated that to the senator privately.
Are you saying it now publicly? Are you apologizing?
I'm saying to you that I did not believe that that would have come out as the dominant issue. It was a consideration. I think it rather, and I've attempted to focus in, not by way of political design, but by way of saying, let's talk about the issues that this country is facing, about inflation, and how can we get it under control, and what do we owe this country in terms of a strong and well-balanced defense?
Okay, before we get to that,
one way or the other,
let's get Congresswoman Holtzman on the question of tone.
I was wondering whether you'd get to me or not. Actually, I've been very proud and pleased about the campaign and my opportunity to travel all over the state of New York and meet with people and talk to them. As a congresswoman, actually, I've been meeting with constituents in my own district for 8 years and listening to their concerns,
yes,
listening to their problems.
But what about
and
the tone?
I've been traveling around the state.
Do you think the tactics of your opponents have been fair or unfair? Do you think it's been a low campaign, a good campaign?
Well,
what kind of a campaign?
Gabe, the thing that concerns me is my ability to get my message to the people of the state and to listen to their concerns. And I think that that's how I've run this campaign. And I'm very proud of the fact that I spent 8 days going down the Erie Canal. The last person to campaign down the Erie Canal was FDR in 1930, and listening to the problems that people have. There's some very serious problems that elderly people have in this country. Medicare is inadequate. It doesn't cover eyeglasses. It doesn't cover prescription drugs. We have some very serious problems that women confront in this country, especially women who've stayed at home and been homemakers.
We're a little off the track right now. I understand.
Well, the tone
you're
of the campaign
issues,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, my opponents have the right to say what they want to, but the kind of campaign I've been running has been one that listens
so
to the concerns that people
you're generally
have.
You're generally happy with the tone of the campaign.
I'm pleased that people have responded positively and enthusiastically
right.
to my campaign around the state, and that's why I believe I'm going to win on November 4th.
Logically, I think that I should ask you, Senator Javits, about something that occurred this morning. The Liberal Party, of course, is backing you. You were defeated in the primary by Mr. D'Amato in the Republican primary. And the leaders of the Liberal Party had a news conference at about 10 o'clock, and I wasn't there, but I talked to Ray Harding, who is the leader, effectively, of the party. And they have made a proposal on the issue of your health and your age. And they said that a committee consisting of Governor Carey, Senator Moynihan, and Mayor Koch should monitor your health, their words. And if this committee decides that you're not capable of handling the job, the suggestion is that then you would step down. Now, do you approve of this idea?
No, the committee, which they are designating, obviously, is all very prominent Democrats, and at least two of these men are good friends of mine, as a matter of fact. One, my colleague in the Senate, and the mayor, I've known for many, many years, and with whom I'm very friendly, and of course the governor. But I think in principle, I would have no problems with a plan by which such a transition could be made if it proved to be the right thing to do, and I was unable to carry on my duties. That can happen to anybody, and no plans like that are made for in the law or in practice, as a matter of fact. But this issue having been raised, and it having really stuck in the minds of the people of this state, I think raised very unfairly, very improperly, and in a very coarse and very brutal way, some such idea, I think, is well worthy of consideration by me and effectuation by me if I'm reelected. I will lend myself to some plan in principle which will assure the public that I'm not going to hang around there if I can't function.
Wouldn't that be a kind of conditional seat then?
No, it wouldn't be conditional at all, because I'm the fella that would have to make it operative. And there's no way of doing this except with my approval, consent, and volition. You can't make a binding contract on that one.
Would that be satisfactory to you, Mr. D'Amato, as the author of what Mr. Javits calls a brutal campaign?
Well, I reject that contention about the low-level brutality, and there have been some rather low-level kinds of remarks that have come back, again, from both my opponents. But in the heat of a campaign, sometimes these things take place, and people get anxious, and their staffs get anxious, and indeed people close to them get anxious, and yes, ultimately we all have to take their responsibility.
What do you think of this idea, assuming that the senator was reelected?
Ultimately, we all have to take the responsibility for the actions of those people around us, although we may not have agreed at the time. But if the senator is willing to do that, I think that he should be commended. Absolutely. I join in with him in terms of questioning the particular committee itself, in terms of Governor Carey being one of the monitors. But I think that that shows the mark of a real gentleman and what we call real class.
Congresswoman Holtzman?
Senator Javits has to make whatever arrangements or plans he wants to with respect to himself. I would say, however, that there are specific constitutional procedures with respect to the designation of a replacement in the event a senator is removed. And I'm someone who is very conservative about the Constitution. I don't like to see its provisions.
Well, the governor, of course, would be the one who would appoint a successor.
That's correct. And there's a simple provision for that.
Right.
And but I personally think that the question that will come before the people of the state is who is best qualified to serve the people effectively, to provide for the people of the state a new agenda. And I've set forth an agenda for the 1980s. And to someone who will stand up and fight for the people of the state. And that's the kind of program that I've talked about.
Let's go back and talk about some of the issues after we pause for a message. Seems to me they're good. I'd like to ask you what you regard as the chief issue that sets you apart from your opponents. What do you think, Ms. Holtzman?
I think there's several issues that set me apart from my opponents.
I said the chief issue. If there was one.
I think the basic issue that sets me apart from my opponents is my willingness to stand up to the oil companies, which have played a major role in terms of manipulating prices and ripping off consumers. We see now winter approaching, and home heating oil prices are going up, and the price of food is going up, and the price of electricity rates are going up, and the price of gas at the pump are going up. And I'm the only person in this race, and as I understand, the only person before this race began who was prepared to stand up to the oil companies and call not just for controls on the price of home heating oil and controls on the price of American gas and oil, which would reduce food prices and reduce heating oil prices and reduce the cost of living substantially, but also to talk about divestiture of the oil companies and to break them up. And I'm prepared to stand up against the special
interests. What about you,
and that, I think,
DeMotto,
differentiates me on from
that
my
question
opponents.
Well, if we're going to, on that question, Gabe, I've had a long record in terms of taking the oil companies and the Federal Energy Department to task.
But you're against controls.
For their inadequacies. The real answer in terms of trying to make this a situation where we don't have to face a cutoff from the OPEC nations, we're now 50% of our oil is imported, is to bring about those policies that are going to make us energy independent. I've been talking about that. And indeed, you just can't take, and I think it is a rather naive approach, to coin an expression used by Senator Javits, and say, no atomic energy development, none at all. I mean, and that's what Congresswoman Holzman has done. I think that plays a part, conservation and tax credits for conservation.
But you're saying you're against controls because they don't lead to discoveries of oil here. Is that what you're saying?
Oils, alternative sources, solar, conservation methods. I mean, how can you be for energy independence,
Senator,
on one hand, and then vote against tax credits for those people who will be given credit to bring about energy independence?
Ms. Holzman says she stand up to the oil companies because she thinks that that's the best thing in her campaign. It's not necessarily the paramount issue. The paramount issue is how to break the back of this inflation. And Ms. Holzman, I will come to the, I'll come to it in
okay.
a minute, standing up to the
I'll
oil
give you a chance to give your issue too,
and,
Mr. DeMotto. Go ahead.
Ms. Holzman talks about standing up for the oil companies because she has no way of dealing with inflation that's really a wise and intelligent one, except price controls, which have been a disaster and won't work and won't be voted. She knows it as well as we all do. So that's all. She's just beating the drum for what she thinks helps her in her campaign. The oil companies, as a matter of fact, have been under control, and we had to take it off. And the reason we had to take it off is because the United States is only 50% self-sufficient. The other 50% you have to import and pay the high price for. And when you have the two price system, apparently it doesn't work. We tried it with all kinds of complicated allocation. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the real issue in this matter is inflation. And the only way you're going to lick inflation, and including the possibility or the opportunities to try to balance the budget, which is going to be very tough, even Reagan admits that now, and otherwise to economize, is to get this economy competitive and to modernize it. That's the real guts of it. You're talking about the big ticket item there. And the only way you're going to do that is with the full cooperation, which can be obtained, of American business. Not necessarily by buttering it up. I mean, it's a lot better scheme of Ms. Holzman's. Why doesn't she come out for rationing of gasoline? That'll really give you conservation. Will really break price, including the price charged to us by the OPEC countries.
Because I think the consumers have suffered enough. I think the penalties and the burdens ought to be placed on the oil companies and not the people. And that's obviously, when you stand up to the oil companies, they're going to call you names. Maybe it is naive to say you can fight the oil companies and stand up to them, but if a United States senator representing the great state of New York is not prepared to stand up to the oil companies, who will?
I'm not taking that one. I have provided in law, I get things done. These people are full of conversation. I get it done. The fact is that I have provided in law for the audits of the oil company's books. Good, tough audits. And the possibility of recovery for excess. Where do you get these litigations about billions of dollars in recoveries? Except in the law. So I won't accept that at all. I've stood up to all kinds of companies, including on the antitrust laws and everything else. I'm no patsy for companies. But I'm a realist and realize that in order to have taxes, America has to make something and has to make it competitive and can't be snowed like we are now in autos and steel. And this is the hallmark. Ms. Holzman is living in another day of Franklin D. Roosevelt Sr. The old New Deal, notwithstanding that it's not at all relevant, is just reiterated and reiterated and reiterated. And that's our campaign.
Do you think the major issue is what?
I think the major issue is really twofold, Gabe. It's a strong economy, bringing about productivity again, and of course oil becomes part of that. And secondly, a strong, balanced defense so that we can meet our legitimate needs both at home and abroad and give our allies the sense of confidence that we have the wherewithal and the determination to meet legitimate commitments, not to be adventuresome, not to seek to intrude ourselves where we have no business doing it, not to be the so-called policeman of the world, but yet to have a balanced approach so that when we have an issue of survival or world peace, that we can instill confidence and fulfill our commitments. I think Senator Javits is right when he says that Congresswoman Holtzman simply beats to death the situation of price controls. It didn't work when we had it. We had a bollocked up situation. I had to deal with it. I had to go down to Washington to get the proper allocations. That's number one. Number two, it doesn't deal with how are we going to make this nation energy self-sufficient. We've got to do that, work on a conservation program, work on a program of tax credits that are going to bring industry in, and it's going to take 10 years to do that. But let's move towards that. And let me say this. What do you do with the loss of $227 billion from the windfall profits tax? Are we going to cut back? And don't forget, that's been built into the budget. Are we going to say we're not, you know, you can't have it two ways. You can't say that we're going to put everything down in one hand and then cut the government revenue on the other. What do we do with that? What happens to those programs for the needy, for allocations for heat this winter?
Congresswoman Holtzman.
I thought you were going to use your stopwatch, Gabe. I mean,
only,
I know I'm not in
necessary.
The Senate yet, but anyway, let me just say, I guess I'm the only one here who's gone into a supermarket to buy food, and I'll tell you what
That's
happens
nonsense.
To your prices. And the problem is, if you take $20 today compared to what you used to spend even 5 months ago, it's incredible. It doesn't buy anything. And one of the reasons we have such an escalation in food prices that affects every New Yorker is because of the inflation that we've allowed in oil prices and gas prices. I just had a press conference with Bruce Ratner, who is the Consumer Affairs Commissioner of New York City, and we talked about the fact that a major component in the increase of food prices is the decontrol of oil prices and gas prices.
Yeah, but I'm...
And I'm prepared to stand up and seek reimposition of controls on the price of gas price of oil. Let's talk about
if
utility
I'm the average,
costs.
If I'm the average man or woman of New York trying to decide whom to vote for among you three, what's the picture I get? You say that one of the major issues, perhaps the major issue, is the question of standing up to the oil companies.
Well, it's a larger issue, though, than that, Gay, which is, let me, please.
Yeah. I'm trying to differentiate among the three
well,
of you.
Let me,
the senator says it's reviving the economy or making it healthy. You agree with him, basically.
And our defense posture.
Right. And
but what I'm saying is
that essentially what the difference is on this whole area?
But willingness to stand up to the oil companies is only part of a general willingness to fight for the people against special interests and to say that, you know, everyone says, well, the American people have to sacrifice. Well, the American people have sacrificed enough. What about having a special interest sacrificed? What about having a senator who will stand up for the people? I think that's a very
important
difference.
Well, we have differentiated on one question.
Us.
We do have a difference here. Each of you puts it in different terms, of course. Is that correct? You all agree with that? All right. Now, I'd like to deal with something else. We stop for a message. There was a kind of tabulation in the Daily News today by two skillful political reporters of the liabilities, the assets, the differences among you in style and in character, and so forth. And I'd like to refer to a couple of those when we come back. Some of them are kind of critical. Some of them are favorable. We'll stop for a message.
New York.
Daily News. For Senator from New York, there's a table here put together by Jane Perlez and John McLaughlin, the political writers for the Daily News. And one thing lists the liabilities of each candidate, and I just wanted to try these out on you. Congresswoman Holtzman, your liabilities, according to them, has a personal, uncompromising rigidity which could give her problems in the close club of the Senate. Her voting record against defense appropriations raises questions in her natural Jewish constituency, perceived as a liberal ideologue who automatically backs federal works programs. Well, what's your reaction to that estimate?
Well, I think the Senate needs a little shaking up. And if it's a men's club, and actually there's only one woman and 99 men, maybe we need a little shaking up with some new talent and new ideas and new blood. But I think also with respect to the issue of liberal. I'm a new generation of Democrat. Yes, I'm proud to stand in the footsteps of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. But I think we have to have accountability in federal programs. And I'm one of the very few people that's gone to Congress and tried to make programs work and tried to eliminate waste. In fact, there was a scandal in a major federally financed summer feeding program. And I uncovered that scandal with the help of my constituents. And as a consequence of that, after having rewritten the laws and helped to rewrite the regulations, we not only got a better program, but we saved the taxpayers $40 million a year. I know taxpayers are very angry when they send their money to Washington and they see that money wasted. And I think that we've got to have someone who's going to be a watchdog for the taxpayer, and that's what I want to do. And I feel that way about not only social programs, but about the Department of Defense. Of course we have to have a strong defense, but we can't be in a situation where monies that are intended to go to the Pentagon are wasted. And I've got the courage not only to stand up against waste in social programs, but I've got the courage to stand up against waste in the Pentagon.
Any comments on that before we go on to the next victim?
By way of rebuttal, or?
Yeah, well, we'll give you a chance afterwards. Yeah. Why don't we go on to you, Mr. D'Amato?
Sure.
According to this estimate of your liabilities, these writers say that has a personal, uncompromising... Oh, that's you. I'm sorry, Ms. Holtzman. Mr. D'Amato, a cog in the heavily investigated Nassau County machine... I guess they mean Republican machine. He went along with the 1% tithe from public employees to the party. He spearheaded the construction of a $100 million solid waste disposal plant that has never functioned.
I do live in Nassau, and I have been a part of the Republican Party there, and so consequent to the extent that some of those liabilities in terms of how they are perceived and what may or may not have taken place are natural rub-offs. But in terms of fairness and in terms of accuracy, even the Daily News and even Newsday and even the investigations and conducted, by the way, by Democrats have indicated in the minutes repeatedly that Al D'Amato has not been a target, that has not been the subject of that. And indeed, most of the practices, whether it were civil service abuses, Gabe, that existed years ago, my administration dealt with them. Insurance abuses,
But they say you went along with the 1% political kickback from public employees.
Absolutely not true, Gabe. And again, the reports indicate I made my contributions. I'm for voluntary yet contributions. I'm opposed to any attempt to coerce anyone to do that. And any implication that I did that is just out of touch with reality and is not true.
Are your employees contributing to your campaign?
There are those. I've never directly solicited anyone. If they give voluntarily, fine. I don't keep any record in terms of who has or who hasn't. There have been $2 million contributed to the campaign, and I would suggest that their contributions, if anything, have constituted a very small, very minor portion of that. But again, my administration has dealt with, in a very factual way, handling those abuses and has eliminated them. Not Al D'Amato's statements, but Newsday. But those reporters have looked into the situation, and I'm proud of that, I reckon. And by the way, the $100 million recycling plant, that's the kind of effort that we need. I brought in private enterprise to build a plant that would deal with solid waste, that would take that solid waste and turn it into usable power, and if it were not for the fact that the EPA has not set up reasonable rules or standards for testing dioxin and for saying what levels, if any, are permissible, we'd have that plant operating. So we've had to close the plant. It hasn't cost the taxpayers money until the federal EPA comes up with standards for the detection of dioxin.
Senator, your liabilities, according to Perlez and McLaughlin, he is 76 and suffering from motor neuron disease, which affects the muscles and causes him difficulty in walking. Some question whether he would survive the six-year term. Too liberal for mainstream Republicans, I assume they're referring to Mr. D'Amato, viewed as preoccupied with international affairs rather than fighting for federal aid to the state.
First, let me comment on what Mr. D'Amato said, because I'm in this office a very long time, and I'm very solicitous, not only about winning this race and keeping for the people the asset they've got, tremendous seniority and stature in the Senate, but I'm also interested in what succeeds me. And I don't think you can kiss off this Nassau County Republican machine so lightly, or Mr. D'Amato's involvement in it, which is very real. I've mentioned this before. You know, there's a great political adage. When you go along, you get along. And going along is a real test of a politician, especially with his own political organization. And Mr. D'Amato went along. Let's not kid about that. He knew all about it. He wrote a letter about it himself, and he admitted that. And I think the public ought to know that and weigh it in the balance. Now, in whatever time is left about me, I have served these people a very long time. There's no lack of knowledge about me as to my strengths or my weaknesses. And I have delivered for them for a very long time. You don't get this reputation, which I have, which my opponents attest to, with mirrors. I've been elected and re-elected to this office 4 times. And I don't think, with all respect to the public, that it's weighed that in the balance adequately. Certainly it's not reflected in these polls. The fact that New York has a fantastic asset for itself at a time when those assets are critical to the to a state which is not going uphill, but which is dangerously near going downhill. And I produced for New York City, for example, in its financial trouble.
What about these particular liabilities, so-called liabilities?
Yes, the health thing. I'll come to that. And the age. We've been all up and down that track. The question is here. Not here, but here, in my head. And does anybody challenge me for having my marbles? I've debated these two folks for a considerable number of times. I haven't fallen on my face, I don't think, and I don't think the public does either. I've got lots of marbles up there, and that's what the people are buying. They're not buying me for a steeplejack or a 100-yard runner.
What are your reactions to that, Ms. Holtzman and Mr. D'Amato? Since the age issue has been a factor in this campaign.
Well, I have not raised health or age as an issue, and I don't believe it should be. I think that what the voters will look for in candidates, and I think the senator is correct in this respect, are the qualities to provide leadership for New York State during very tough times in the 1980s. And I think one of these areas that we haven't really touched on in this debate, and in fact in many of the other debates, has to do with the question of women.
Before we get to that, we have a break. Did you want to make any comment on what the senator said?
Yeah, I think that, again, Gabe, people get somewhat hysterical when they see that they're not moving up in the polls and seek to have made a rather specious issue of something that I have answered fully, completely, adequately, has been attested to, and really is an attempt to take our attention away from the main issues of whether or not this nation is going in the right direction, either economically, in terms of our foreign policy, in terms of a strong military. And when we talk about...
You're talking
right away,
about the political machine issue.
And when we talk about inflation, et cetera, let me point out to both my colleagues, I haven't been in Congress these past 8 years or 20 years. I didn't vote for decontrol energy. I didn't sit by idly and not develop an alternative energy source.
I think you've all made the points that were required on this sequence. Let's stop for this message. Personality, character do have some bearing on how people vote. And I don't want to, I'm not promoting the Sunday news today, but there is an interesting analysis of the differences among you, and I thought I would quote my colleagues again. Mr. D'Amato, they say that you are bright, pugnacious, that you would walk over the chest of anyone but your mother to
Thank
win.
God they put that.
That you're sensitive about Italian middle-class origins but never miss an opportunity to make it work for him. Loves politics and its machinations. The nastier the campaign, the better he likes it. Usually manages to land the first punch. A quick study. What's your reaction to that estimate of your style and personality?
I'm somewhat aggressive, Gabe. I wouldn't have been in this campaign if I weren't, if I didn't persist against some odds. Yes, I take great offense at the characterizations of Italian Americans that is somewhat prevalent and does exist in the New York media market. Let's not kid ourselves. We have to go a little bit further to justify our existence. We have to go a little bit further to dispel rumors and nasty kinds of things and innuendos that come up that would never be raised where they're not a name that was not an Italian-American. And so to that extent, yes, I stand. And when someone calls me the pasta candidate, the pate versus the pasta versus the pate, the pinstripe, versus the polyester, me being the polyester. I take great offense at that. And you better believe I let people know that that's the kind of thing that's taking place. And it was one of those writers who started my campaign out that way.
Polyester.
Characterizes, yes, the polyester candidate. And I certainly will bring that to people. And I'm proud of our origin and our contributions. And I'm proud, and I think that we all have a right to be proud of our culture and our background and the contributions that they've made to this country and to this nation.
Ms. Holtzman, they call you driven achiever. Hot temper lurks behind frozen campaign smile. Humorless, but good at working a crowd. Makes a fetish of her independence and gets a D on congressional report card on ability to play and work well with others. Has mastered the art of parliamentary procedure, always prepared, does well by her district, and dazzles them with fact work.
Well, let me say, first of all, that I'm the only candidate in this race not wearing pinstripes. That is important. And I think one of the important things is that a lot of issues affecting women in this country, not only women who work, but women who are homemakers, elderly women, will be addressed by me. And that's one of the strengths I have in this race. Second thing is that I may be a kind of person who doesn't always go along with all of my colleagues in the House of Representatives, but considering the low esteem in which the House is held, I think my willingness to stand up for what's right or has earned me the respect of the people
of
this country.
What about that hot temper?
No, I'm a genial person, and I think one of the important things, too, is a record of achievement. The Equal Rights Amendment, for example, would be dead today if it hadn't been for my legislation getting through an extension of that deadline. Nazi war criminals would still be finding sanctuary in this country if I hadn't pressed the Immigration Service to act. I brought in millions of dollars to this state.
What you're saying is, when they say driven achiever, you plead guilty to that.
I plead guilty to getting things done.
Senator Javits, often described as the brightest member of the Senate, the Senate's lawyer, a workaholic who relishes the fine print, acerbic, was always aloof from and uncomfortable with rough and tumble of New York politics, but was protected through most of his career by the late Nelson Rockefeller, fond of telling voters how bright he is. Plead guilty or not guilty?
Oh, I plead pretty guilty to all of those things. I don't like the acerbic, but who knows what impression other people get. But I think, on the whole, I'll accept that as a kind of a life sentence. I think I've done one great job for this state, and I think I can continue to do it if the state wishes me to, and that's the only thing I've submitted to the people.
Do you have
if I may just finish the sentence, because it's so important to me. I don't own anybody's vote. I have no influence on anybody's vote. Anybody can vote any way they please. I'm not going to be mad at anybody. I just said to the people, having served you so long and having so much for you, I can only hear it from you. You want me to continue, I'm delighted. If you don't want me to continue, I'll go about other business and try to be just as cheerful. Now, that's the big message I want to leave with all listening. And I couldn't agree more with Al about the Italian characterizations. I fought them all my life. After all, I come from Orchard Street, and Christie Street is only two blocks away. And that was a big Italian neighborhood in my part of the town. And similarly with Miss Holtzman, I have helped her. I think she would fairly tell you that. With anything she undertook, the Nazis, the food thing, because I want to promote, I want to get, not just I'm only one person. You want to help other people and get other jobs done. So I have no problem.
Do you like each other? Let me ask you this. Do you